So our lectionary text today, Luke 10:25, is probably taken from the Gospel of Mark. It's believed that Mark wrote the text that Luke and Matthew used as their primary source. And then they added things to what Mark had done. So probably this story came from Mark, and then Luke tweaked it a little bit, changed it a little bit, and then added another story to it. I think what Luke did with the story, for the most part, was great. Adding that second story really makes a big difference. But what Mark did in the original story is very important. In that story, a Pharisee asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, coming out of ancient scripture that most everybody knew, quotes, love God with your heart, soul, strength, mind, with basically your whole being. Love God with your whole being, he said. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And as you may recall, since we cover this every year, nobody asked for the second one. Jesus threw that in because you can't understand the first one unless you know the second one. You can't love God with your whole being unless you are loving your neighbor as yourself. You can't do number one without number two. And that reflects back to ancient prophets who, speaking for God, said, had God say, all this worship stuff that you're doing, these rituals, it's just giving me a headache. Just stop it. What I want you to do is to care for the people who need help. What I want you to do is justice. If you want to serve me and show how you follow me, do that. In a sense, that's what Jesus is saying here. That if we want to show our love for God, we don't go up into a mountain someplace and contemplate for the rest of our lives. We seek out our neighbors and serve them. So Luke takes a story and changes it a little bit by having a lawyer ask, and there really isn't that much difference between a Pharisee and a lawyer, since the law was religious law and the lawyer would have been a religious scholar. Having a lawyer ask, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Now, we can read that with our sort of post-Christian mindset and thinking that what the lawyer's asking is, how do I get to heaven or how do I live forever? But if we line it up with Mark's original story, maybe what the lawyer was asking is, how do I live my finite life in line with what is infinite and true, what is ultimately true? Whatever the lawyer had in his mind when he asked the question, and Jesus responded by saying, well, you know the law, you know the texts, you tell me. And the lawyer responds, love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you're right. Do that and you'll live. And then the lawyer asks a second question. Now, it's not uncommon for lawyers to ask questions that they already know the answer to. So the fact that he asked the question and answered his own question isn't surprising. And it isn't surprising that he had a follow-up question, probably one that he didn't feel that he had an answer to. And that follow-up question is a fundamental question for our faith. That question is, well, yeah, but who's my neighbor? That's a vital question. Vital for us to understand where that question comes from. The lawyer, back in Jesus' day, along with us today, with those coming before him and those coming after us, were all trained to think of the world in terms of the domination system. And inside that system, we are trained to see the world and other people in terms of all sorts of lines of separation. And how they, those lines of separation separate them from us. And so whenever we meet a person, back in the back of our heads, we don't even know that we're doing it consciously, but in the back of our heads, we're already looking at that person and trying to figure out which side of which lines they fit and how close they are to us, how they relate to us. So are they members of our immediate family? Are they members of our extended family? Do they come from our neighborhood? Do they share our race? Do they share our class? Do they share our religion? Do they share our sexual orientation? Do they share our gender? Do they share our national identity? Do they share a language? All of these questions are being filtered out in the back of our heads, and we're putting people on some sort of scale in our heads to determine how close or far they are from us. And what the lawyer was asking is, which one of those lines is the line of demarcation where we say, these people I treat as I would treat myself. These people I treat as absolute equals. These people I share my life and my resources with as I would share that with myself. And people on the other side of that line, I have no such obligation to. Where's the line? Jesus answers the question by telling a story that's very familiar to Christianity. Jesus says, there once was a guy who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I've been there. It is down, definitely. Jerusalem sits way up in hills, Jericho way down. Going from Jerusalem to Jericho and gets attacked by robbers. And the robbers take everything, including his clothes, everything the guy has, beats him to nearly to death, leaves him lying in a ditch, and he's there, helpless and in need. And a priest comes by, sees the man in the ditch, crosses over to the other side of the road, and keeps on walking. Then a Levite, which is another religious official, priest is a higher religious official, then a Levite comes in, sees the man in the ditch, goes to the other side of the road, and keeps on walking. As is usual, often in storytelling, you set up a pattern of three, and you have two to set the pattern, and the third to break the pattern, three little bears, whatever. The third person comes along and breaks the pattern. This third person is a Samaritan, and traditionally it's thought that Samaritans were not looked upon as members of the community of Jewish people. They were outsiders. They were physically outsiders. They were religiously outside. And it may have been that the hostility between the two groups was considerable. That the Samaritans had a faith life that was very similar to the Jewish people, but not exactly the same. And sometimes in those little differences become big arguments. So a Samaritan, who is definitely an outsider, comes along, sees the man in the ditch, goes down in the ditch, takes off his coat, puts it over the guy, tends to the man's wounds as best he can, puts the guy up and carries him down to where the man can receive ongoing care, pays for that ongoing care, and then leaves. And in other words, the Samaritan does everything possible to ensure that the man will receive the care he needs until he gets back on his feet. Now, we know that story, but what we often missed in the telling of the story, because it seems like it's a story about a nice person doing a nice thing for somebody, we miss the radical nature of the story when we miss what's happening in the last question. Because Jesus asked the lawyer, who was a neighbor to the guy in the ditch? Now, remember that the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? From the perspective of the system in which he was raised, it's all about us. It's all about how people relate to us. And we are the center of our own universes, and we have to determine how people relate to us and how we value people as related to us. And Jesus takes that question and turns it on its head and says, who is the neighbor to the man in the ditch? Well, the answer is obvious. The lawyer says, well, it's the guy who stopped and helped. And Jesus says, yes. Now you go and do likewise. That whole system of thought that we have in our heads, that the lawyer had in his head, that whole system of thought which has us sitting around deciding which lines are out there and which people are on which side of which line to determine how much we feel akin to them, how much we feel that we can share with them, that is obliterated in Jesus' question. Who is a neighbor to the man in the ditch? The primary concern is that person, the person in need. The primary concern of our faith, the primary concern of our lives. That transition is very difficult. We are schooled to think in terms of having these lines of separation as protection. How can we protect our privileged status if we see ourselves as utterly equal with people who are in desperate need? Wouldn't that level of equality demand that we share our privileges with them so that they are on an equal basis with us? So we create barriers so we don't have to think and confront that question. For many years, we've sheltered homeless people in this building, and I can remember in one of the neighborhood blogs, one of our neighbors writing and complaining about the fact that we are bringing homeless people into the neighborhood, writing, "I paid a lot of money for my house so that I could live in this neighborhood so I wouldn't have to deal with homeless people." In other words, I paid a lot of money so that I could be around other people who have the same level of wealth as I have so that I know that they won't be making any demands on my neighborliness with them. Jesus turns not only the question around on the lawyer, but turns our way of seeing the world around on us. And when we look at the world through the lens of this scripture and of that question, we have to say, on this day, when the federal government has made a big deal about the fact that it's making raids on people who are undocumented immigrants and seeking to arrest them and deport them, on this day, that what we're doing in terms of immigrants and refugees in this country is exactly opposite of this question that Jesus asks, exactly opposite of our faith tradition. Not only are we not going into the ditch and helping people in desperate need, we're building a wall so that they can't crawl out of the ditch and get anywhere near us. We're building a wall, a physical wall, we're building prisons to put people in, and we're building a system of bureaucracy to make it as difficult as possible for desperate people to receive citizenship and care and compassion that this country has to offer. And we do that because we're afraid that we will have to share our resources with people who have needs and thereby somehow be diminished. But the truth is, the very nature and call of our faith is that in the sharing we're not diminished, we're expanded. We become more. We become people with hope. We can become people who live not in fearful, gated communities, but people who live in an expansive world, connected and supportive of each other. If you have one scripture that you know this. Remember this one. Remember the importance of this scripture. Remember the importance of the change from the question, "Who is my neighbor?" to the question, "Who is the neighbor to the person in need?" For in that change of question, there sits the very heart of our faith. This is who we are called to be. This is the center of our life. This is what is eternal in the universe. This is ultimately true. This gives us life and hope for the future. and it's good news.